From the March 1st Apps Challenge Workshop, this is Peter Corbett, CEO of iStrategy Labs, and Brandon Kessler, CEO of Challenge Post, moderated by Robin Sturm of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, speaking on what comes next.
One last question for you guys, and then I actually want to open it up to the audience. In the very first thing that you said, you emphasized the importance of having a post-competition strategy. How does a prize competition fit with other mechanisms and kind of a longer-term strategy about innovation in the space? And what are some of the things that you would encourage agencies to think about from the moment they decide to do a competition about what's going to happen the day after they write the check?
Yeah, I think the first thing you do is you need to think about where can you land these innovators in the arms of an accepting program moving forward? How can it be sustainable, essentially? And I think New York, again, has an incredible example of that. After the first NYC Big Apps concluded, the winning team raised angel investment, right? I think $300,000 or so, and they were given incubation space in New York City. And that was a part of the New York Economic Development Corporation's other initiatives. They had already had these entrepreneurial stimulation programs, and they thought, well, what happens when we catalyze application development? If we see something that's really interesting, can they actually get funding so they can quit their jobs on Wall Street and then do this as a business? That is something I think everyone can sort of replicate, not necessarily incubating companies and investing in them, but thinking about how can we land the best and brightest that come to our door through these programs into other things that we're working on, right? If you're not doing that, what you're doing is really just creating a silo of applications that are developed that might get used, might not get used, but you're really not seeing the next 90% of the value that's possible. Other than that, it depends on how technical your organization is and what you have in-house or the contract, ingest that code, take that application in-house and start to iterate on it further. I don't know if there's anyone that's really figured out within a federal context how to do that IP piece and how to make sure someone just doesn't turn into a contractor in its traditional form. If they're going to continue to iterate on that code. So I'd like to hear from anyone who is doing that, but those are, I think, two things you could think about.
Heard an interesting thing with New York. So a couple of things we did to contribute to the winning team. One is we had lots of venture capitalists who were actually on the judging panel who saw them. And I was actually in the judging meeting when Larry Lenihan from Firstmark Capital was going through the app and was just like, I love this thing. Well, he ended up leading the round to fund that soon after the competition ended. And we also added an investor bar, like an Apple Genius bar, at our award ceremony so that we had had about 30 VCs come in and rotate shifts. So all the apps developed with these VCs and meet them and find out about them and or ask them questions, et cetera. That was helpful. And then, as Peter said, New York City had some funds that came in later. But most important, really, these are software developers, again. They have day jobs. That you have to compete for their time. The best way to encourage a sustainable app development is to actually keep in touch with them and update your data, improve your data, create an API, do more challenges that are interesting. If a nonprofit comes in and wants to do something, great. Let's use our developer relations to create apps around this and keep it interesting for them. You're never going to – developers make apps 80% of the way and stop them all the time. That's just their nature. They're going to experiment with projects and not complete them, regardless of whether it's a government agency, a corporate, or a personal project. That's just how it is. But the better you can sort of continue that ecosystem and that community, the more developers you'll bring into it, and you'll find those few who are willing to really continue to upkeep their apps, et cetera, and you'll find the really great ones who want to make it a business. But it's really about, I think, first and foremost, ecosystem and community.
Great. So the main themes we're hearing there are around thinking very hard at the forefront about sustainability, of the ecosystem of support, both for, you know, kind of the all-star ability to turn into a small company, as well as for thinking about the ongoing vibrancy of a community that will continue on the initial applications over time and to build up a group of civic-minded geeks that are really committed to using your data and making great things out of it over the long term, not just the first 3 months. And then the second being thinking really hard about distribution and as I think will show up in the design panel, that will have implications for some of your design because depending on kind of what your theory of the case is about how this application will make it out to the people who need it in the world, it may change the way you think about your intellectual property rules or other sorts of incentives that you want to build in from the program.
So two things. One, you just touched on a magic word, which is distribution, which is a value proposition in and of itself for someone to participate in an application development competition. So if you have the ability to make sure that people will use this application in some way, shape, or form, that's really what developers want. There is this amazing sense of self-actualization that occurs when you know that 20,000 people or 100,000 people or a million people are using the actual application that you built, right? That it's magic for the people that develop software. And the other thing that I would say is, I think I forgot what it was.
Well, to add to that, so challenge.gov, you can add, when people's submissions come in and then you verify them for eligibility, you can make them available right then and there for the public. So they're getting exposure regardless of whether they win. And I think actually often participation apps challenges where you're trying to just get lots of participation and stimulation around your data, often the prizes are more recognition. It's not so much really the winner. It's about the totality of all of the submissions. And I just want to say, when it comes to what are the bottom line deliverables that you're getting that you can tell people in your agency, what are we going to get out of this? It's one, you know, getting use out of your data, exposing your initiatives to the to developers and to the general public who are going to then sort of, you know, use that data as well. And yeah, I think those are the keys, sort of getting the great ideas. The last one being the investment created is going to far exceed whatever prize money you're putting up there. So you're going to get more in the totality of results than you will if you hired one team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my second point was about going through this exercise of and then what, right? So you're going to run an apps contest and people are going to build great apps, and then what are you going to do? And as you go down that questioning path, and then what, you'll see, oh, and then what? We're going to put them into this other program over here so that they can get further distribution. And then what? Well, we're going to tie in with Startup America and make sure that they have the possibility of getting funded through the public-private partnership. And then what? Oh, we're going to have the secretary of our agency speak about them in public during their big speech. And then what? I don't know, right? So if you keep going through the process, you see all the possibilities that might be valid for extending the value to that developer community that's going to participate.
This podcast was produced by HowTo.gov. You can learn more about challenges by visiting challenge.gov and following us on Twitter @ challengegov. Thanks for listening.